Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and pray to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, these are the words of the Apostle Paul concerning his people, the Jews. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Father, we ask for your grace and abundance of ability today to make the scriptures plain as we try to open the word of God and the thoughts of the Apostle Paul, the great burden that he had for his people. You know, that's missing so much in many church members' lives today. We don't really have a burden for our people, nor for the lost of the world. But we're thankful for the Apostle Paul and the way he worded this. A great burden for his brethren according to the flesh. So we ask your blessing on all that we'll say today. May Christ be glorified in all of it. We pray in his name. Amen. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's a very fitting prayer today because they're in a pretty serious war over there. And people are determined to erase Israel from the face of the earth. Now, I know for sure by the word of God they cannot do that. But they don't know it because of ignorance. But we need to pray for Israel. God's not through with Israel. He's going to demonstrate to the world one of these days. But he says in verse 2, I bear them record, talking about the Jews, that they have a great zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. This goes along with Randy's devotion this morning, as our messages usually do, not accidentally. We understand that. I bear them record, Paul being a Jew himself and having been of the same persuasion as the people he's writing about. They have a great zeal of God. If you wonder about Paul's zeal, read of his own record in Philippians chapter 3 and how devout he was in the Jewish religion. How above all, he was a stickler for the faith that he possessed at that time. But he's confessing it was all in ignorance. All that zeal, so much zeal that it caused him to persecute the church of God. And he identifies the problem in verse 2, and this is the title of my message taken from this verse, Zeal Without Knowledge. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now that's pretty well speaks of the world that we live in today. Always has, really, all the way back to the beginning of time. Zeal without knowledge. Why are there so many religions all over the world? I mean, all the different kinds and types that you can think of. They're very zealous. Many of them are very zealous in their religion. They'll do drastic things because of what they believe, but it's not according to knowledge. And we want to speak about this today. Their problem wasn't zeal. They had that, but their problem was ignorance. And he expresses that in verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. I don't think he meant that in a demeaning way, but it's in a factual way. They were ignorant of God's righteousness. And the world today is in the same condition. They really do not accept, nor do they believe, the righteousness of God that demands absolute perfection. Every man's satisfied with his own level of righteousness, and he settles in what he thinks is okay because he's ignorant of how holy God is, how righteous he is, and how righteous he demands for anybody that approaches him. So God's righteousness versus their own righteousness was a problem with the Jewish religion. That's why they wouldn't accept him when Christ came. I want to give you an example of that same ignorance very early in the history of man. We'll go back to Genesis chapter 4, and most of you are familiar with this, but we hope to draw something from it this morning that'll help you to understand the ignorance of men without Christ. This is the very dawn of time. Adam and Eve have sinned. God has made them coats of righteousness. And in verse number 1 of chapter 4, the Bible reads, "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." This is the first family, and this is the first record in the Bible of men trying to worship God. Two men, two brothers. Cain was the firstborn. His name means possession. He was in line, really, to be heir to all that Adam had. Abel was the secondborn. His word means breath. Can you think about this morning, they're growing from little children. They were born into this world as little children. They grew up as brothers, and I'm sure they fought and played and had good times together. But they've grown to manhood now. And the Bible tells us in verse 3, in the process of time, as time expired and as time goes on and in all people's lives, he has made it that we will mature into adults. It came to pass in verse 3 that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Here's an attempt to approach God, to offer something to God because of something he feels within himself that God created in him. Romans chapter 1 tells us that. When God gives life to a human being, if he has a normal mind to reason with, and sometimes that's not true, but generally speaking, it's true. And God gives that individual with that life an awareness that he is God, he is the eternal God, he's the power that they must give an account to. So, as a result of that, and probably something they were taught in their childhood by Adam and Eve, Cain determined to bring an offering to the Lord, and he brought to the fruit of the ground. And Abel, goes on to say in verse 4, Abel, he also brought to the firstling of his flocks and of the fat thereof. Now it's careful to tell us, not only did he bring one of his flock, but he killed that flock. He separated the fat from it, and that's found throughout the Bible in the offerings that were brought to God. That means that there was bloodshed. We understand that. He bought of the firstling of the flocks. And then the Bible tells us in verse 4, in the last part of that, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. The word respect means to look upon with approval. God acknowledged the offering, he saw the offering, and he received the offering. It was acceptable. Verse 5 says, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. He got mad. And his countenance fell. He was really mad. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance falling? What's going on, Cain? If thou doest well, in other words, what you have done is not well. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Abel was, because Abel did what was well. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. It's your responsibility. You're a responsible being. You need to do well. And if you'll do well, God offers repentance to Cain. The Bible says further in verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now the same boy that he had played with and wrestled with and all the things that children do, because of attempting to approach God and the fact that God rejected his offering, Abel is angry enough to kill his own brother. It's the first murder in the Bible. I know this sometimes could be confusing to people, but I want to connect it to what we read to you back in Romans chapter number 10. The Jews were ignorant of God's righteousness. What is the problem here? Well, the problem can very simply be stated that Cain was ignorant of God's righteousness. Abel understood it. Cain did not. Abel bought of the firstling of the flock with the fat thereof, and the Lord had respected it. God looked upon it. God acknowledged it. God regarded it, and God accepted it. Now why? What's the difference between these two offerings? Well, to really fully understand this, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, because the New Testament sheds a lot of light on this that we don't have in Genesis. But in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, we read in the verse number 4, and this is important to really understand why men will not recognize the righteousness of God. You know, the problem with the lost world is the same problem that the Jews had that Paul prayed for. They disdained, they didn't think too much of the righteousness of God. They were satisfied with their own righteousness. Paul said they went around to obtain their own righteousness. Look in Genesis 11 and verse 4, where Cain is again mentioned. Abel is mentioned, by faith, Abel. By faith. First two words in this sentence. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Notice the connection here. He was righteous. By faith. What's missing in Cain? There was no faith. But what's very apparent in Abel? By faith, Abel offered unto God, the same God, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. But notice this, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Now, who was the witness? Read the rest of the verse. God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel still speaks to us today. He died many years ago. Many, many, many years ago. Almost 6,000 years ago, he died. But he's still speaking. His faith is apparent. His acceptance by God is acknowledged. God became a witness to it. And God bare witness with his gift. And God had respect to him and to his gift. And notice, as we read this, back in the book of Genesis, it says this. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. In verse 4, in the last part, in Genesis 4. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel's first, the offering is second. But look in verse 5. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. Cain is mentioned first. God had not respect to Cain, nor did he have respect to his offering. What's missing in Cain? What's found in Abel? What's the difference between these two men? It's not just their offering, but more than anything, it's their person. One has faith. The other has works. One offers to God by faith an offering, the firstling of his flock. And the other is satisfied that what he's done is enough. He's brought the best that he has, the firstling of his flocks. God had respect to the men first and to their offerings secondary in the scriptures. Now, what is it that I want to impress upon you? They both had zeal. Cain first went to offer to the Lord, did he not? Why would he do that? Well, he knew there was something there that he needed to do. God created it in us. We know that there is a God that we must give an account to, and it bothered him to the point he wanted to give an offering to the Lord. He had zeal, but there's something missing. He's ignorant of God's righteousness. He felt that what he had done with his hands, all that he'd done in his gardening, all that he had brought forth from the ground, that should be sufficient to satisfy God in an offering. But he overlooked something. I meant to read this while we're in Hebrews, but I'll read it now. It's just one verse. It follows verse number 4 where Abel is mentioned. But in verse number 6, after mentioning several of these, the Bible says this about approaching God. In Hebrews chapter 6, I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, the Bible says this, but without faith. Now, I stress this. What did Abel have that Cain did not have? That without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's just not possible. God will not accept anyone, any offering, anything. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That zeal is important. But zeal without faith just won't do it. There must be faith. And Cain was ignorant of the fact of how holy God is. You see, Cain reasoned in his mind, you can see that by what happens. He reasoned in his mind that surely this that I've worked at, that I've done the best that I can, surely God will accept that. Well, when it comes to God, folks, don't start reasoning in your own reason. Read the Bible. Why are there so many lost people in the world today? Because they're ignorant of the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is so far above us. He demands perfect righteousness without any blemish whatsoever. He demands perfect righteousness. Now, Cain didn't have that. Neither did Abel. But Abel had something to approach God with that we read in verse 6 of chapter 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, Abel had faith. We read that in the fourth verse. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Now, it appears that both Cain and Abel were diligently seeking God. They came together, one after the other. Now, going back to my title, zeal without knowledge, this won't do it. Zeal in itself will never, never enable you to approach God. To the lost today, you cannot approach God because you want to. You can't approach God because you work hard at it. You must have some knowledge of how to approach God. Abel had that. Cain didn't. What can we conclude about Abel's faith? Not only has Abel been accepted by God because of his faith, but he had a more excellent sacrifice. So we have to look now at the sacrifices. Cain was rejected. Abel was accepted. What is the result of Abel having faith? See, Abel is accepted first, and the sacrifice is accepted second because of the faith that he had and because of what it made him do. He took one of his flock and he shed its blood. No doubt it was a lamb. James tells us in James 2, verse 22, we see your faith by your works. And the thing is true with Abel. A more excellent gift was brought by Abel because he had faith mixed with his works. He had to kill one of his own lambs. He had to shed his blood and cut that fat away from the sacrifice. You'll see that throughout the book of Leviticus. But it's more excellent because of what it pictured. Throughout the Old Testament, before Christ came, we find these sacrifices, thousands upon thousands of sacrifices. We find the shedding of blood. We find a slain animal. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, in the first Passover lamb, we find a lamb that had to be slain. Its blood had to be sprinkled on a doorpost, on the lintel above it. What did Abel's offering picture as a result of his faith? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What did it say about Cain? What did God say to Cain? Sin lieth at the door. His sin was not covered. There was no blood. The beloved without blood, there's no redemption. There's no acceptance with God without the shedding of blood. It said of Abel that he was righteous. He was not ignorant of the fact that God's righteousness demanded more than he just bring that lamb as it was. I mean, he could have done what Cain did and just brought the best that he had, the best lamb of his flock. He did that, but he also did something to it. He killed it. He shed his blood. He separated the fat, and he brought that as an offering to the Lord. And God had respect to it, because it pictured the Savior that was promised in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. Promised to Adam and Eve. I have no doubt that both of these boys were taught by their parents the right way to approach God. Abel could not have known that except by knowledge given to him by his parents. But you see, the difference is Abel accepted the fact that God wanted it done this way, and Cain rejected what God wanted done, and he wanted to do it his own way. And that's where we are today in the world. That's why the world is full of religion. Cain wanted to approach God, but he had ignorance as far as what God would accept. And that's the situation in the world today. I mean, man is by nature a religious being. That's why wherever you go in the world, you'll find religion of one kind or another. But most of it is steeped in ignorance. Most of it is so far from the Word of God that it can't be accepted at all, because Christ is left out of it. The blood is left out of it. The righteousness of God is left out of it. God will accept no sacrifice. He'll accept no man does not recognize his righteousness, his demand for perfection. And the wonderful thing about Abel's offering is it satisfied that demand. Because Abel pictured the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham and Isaac. Abel accepted that, and he acted accordingly. Cain rejected it, and he acted accordingly. Abel was received, and Cain was rejected. Now let's go back to our text in Romans chapter 10, and look at the fourth verse. Paul had a great burden. It puts us to shame, really. The great burden he had for his people. When he had said in chapter number 9 and verse number 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness with me in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. What a burden this man had for his people. And what did it do, this zeal for his people? What did it produce in him? He went everywhere preaching the gospel. Where was the first place he went when he went into a city? If they had a synagogue there, where did he go? To his people. Why? Because he had a great burden. He could wish himself accursed from Christ for his brethren. And he repeats that in chapter 10. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. And they were zealous. The Jews were a zealous people. But they're also ignorant of God's righteousness. And Paul is writing about that. In verse 3, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see, the righteousness of God demands submission. Cain refused it. He did not want to submit. Abel accepted it and he submitted and did what God told him to, what his parents, I no doubt, taught him, the way to approach God. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. He understood that. He wasn't ignorant of that. And he acted upon that. And he knew that the righteousness of God demanded perfect righteousness. And he knew the only way to picture that was through one who would come as the Lamb of God, a perfect man who would live perfectly without sin. And that's what verse 4 is talking about. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is a fulfillment of the law in every regard. Jesus said in Matthew number 5, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the heaven in the presence of God. And here's a man, and he's a man in every regard. He's man, he's God too, but he's man. And here's a man that lived under that law of God, and he never in any way, one jot or one tittle, he never violated it at all. And then he offered himself as a lamb to God. His blood was shed. You see, God's righteousness demanded the death of his son. For God so loved the world that he gave. Do you understand what the word gave means? He gave his only begotten son. He gave him to be crucified. He gave him to die on the cross. He gave him to satisfy his perfect righteousness because the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. He had to die because he took the place of a sinner. As a matter of fact, he took the place of many sinners. And God's righteousness demands death. Oh, earth, earth, why will you die? The righteousness of God demands that we approach him with the proper sacrifice. And Abel still speaking. He being dead yet speaketh. What is he teaching us? Bring the lamb with you. Not a lamb out of your fold like he had to do, because Christ hadn't come yet. But today we have the glorious privilege of coming to God, approaching to God by faith and bringing the Lamb that fulfills the righteousness of God because we've been made righteous in Him. He imputed the righteousness of Christ to us. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 21. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We're made righteous in Christ, and God's law is satisfied. God's demand for perfect righteousness is fully satisfied in everyone who comes and brings the lamb. Now, Abel brought a lamb from his own fold by faith. He killed that lamb, and God had respect to his offering. But then they were living. The only lamb you can bring to God. The only way God will ever accept you, Jesus said it plainly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You must bring the Lamb of God on your behalf. You must be willing to understand how holy God is and how you can never approach Him in yourself. But if you bring the Lamb, you'll have respect to your offering and to you first and your offering second. God beheld Abel's offering, and God testified. We read that to you in chapter 4. He testified of His gift. It was a more excellent gift. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. It was a more excellent gift. And then we have Abraham. Genesis 15. God said, look up to the heavens. I'm going to just paraphrase this for you for the sake of time. And see the stars, if you be a number of them. I'm sure Abraham looked up and God said, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed God. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He believed God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Abraham was diligently seeking the Lord. Abraham later on would take his own son up on the mountain to offer him as the Lamb of God. And God stopped his hand. And John the Baptist came with a message in John chapter number 1. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Isaac didn't die, but Christ did. The righteousness of God is so demanding. There is no man, no matter how zealous, no matter how dedicated, no matter how hard he may want to approach God, he cannot approach God because he's a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only way any man can ever approach God is through faith in Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Everyone that believeth. Now, Randy told you in the devotion this morning, they rejected Christ. And Jesus said to them in John chapter 8, if you believe not that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. And many of them never believed that He was the Christ, and they died in their sins, and they're in hell today. Because they would not approach God through the Lamb, trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And the world we live in today is full of this. Many people that go with the name Baptist have never submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They've gone through the motions, but they've never trusted the Lamb of God. Their faith has been in the wrong thing. They've trusted in, and I'm not being particular, I'm just being in general terms, because this is just the way it is, and you know it's this way. That's why people look at Baptists and say, I don't want to be like that. Why, he's a drunkard. He cheats on his wife. You see, being a Baptist or being a Christian or being anything else has nothing to do with it. What is your faith in? Have you put your faith in Christ and in nothing else? Have you? The more excellent sacrifice that Abel had, the sacrifice of faith. We can't see Christ. We weren't there when He died. But by faith, we've accepted Him as the righteousness of God that we need. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, later on in this chapter, as a matter of fact, verse 11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. In verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What are you calling upon Him for? For righteousness that you don't have. Don't be obstinate. Don't be stubborn. Don't refuse to accept the gift that God has offered you. That all you really need to do is acknowledge that when God let His Son be crucified, He did it so you could be saved. God's Lamb. Abel's Lamb. Same person. Abel took his own lamb, but he was picturing the one to come. And he came. And he put away the sin of Abel. And Cain died wandering the earth, because he rejected the grace of God. He rejected the kindness of God. He was obstinate. He was going to do what he was going to do. He didn't care what the Bible said. Not that he ever had the Bible, but he had a testimony. I believe he knew what to do. That's why God told him, if thou doest well. He knew what well was, but he rejected it. He didn't want it. The world knows today that Christ is the only way, but they will not accept it. No, they still want their baptism. They still want their church membership. They still want their good works. They still want everything that brings glory to them. And nothing that brings glory to God. Just a simple, childlike faith in a man who was crucified because God demanded perfect righteousness, and Jesus Christ is the only one who ever fulfilled that. And though he fulfilled it, every jot and every tittle, he offered himself without spot to God that I might be saved. What about you today? Do you have peace with God? Abel didn't have peace with God. That's why he wanted to come. Cain didn't have peace with God before or after. But Abel had peace when God accepted him. And God had respect to his offering. And God had respect to Abel. It says to Abel first and then to his offering. And then he had peace. And all the difference in the world between being lost and saved is your attitude toward Christ. Submit yourself to him. Admit to God, he is my righteousness. He is my righteousness. I have none. But thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending your son that I might have this gift. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you.